Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to be doing a show about pain, about relieving pain. Are you in pain? I'm talking about joint pain, back pain. Let's talk about shoulders, hips, knees, backs. It's really something that we don't like. So many people have that problem. If you don't, I'm very happy for you. And you might know people who do. So we're going to talk about how to relieve that. My guest is an incredible doctor who I've met and become friends with, who is a pioneer. By a pioneer, I mean somebody who's willing to follow a path that very few doctors are willing to follow because it gets results in ways that actually work. And he's not interested in wasting your time with undue processes and procedures that even create many complications. So it's great to talk with a doctor, to know a doctor who is out in the world actually helping people in ways that don't create more problems. To do that, we have him actually in the studio. So I'm so happy to introduce you all to Dr. Erwin Abraham. Dr. Abraham, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Do you mind if I call you Erwin?
That's okay, Peter.
Okay, good. We're good friends. This is a wonderful thing that you're doing. I'm so excited for all the people you've helped and can help. What is it that you do? I know it's called prolotherapy. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, let me just explain that I'm an MD, a medical doctor. My patients always ask that because they need to know the distinction in their minds. So I'm an MD. I have been practicing for a long time. I have 30 years as a general internist, doctor for adults. But over almost that number of years, I developed an interest in musculoskeletal problems, have worked with a variety of different techniques I've learned over the years from my teachers to help people with their pain, to get rid of it whenever possible, and make them more functional. And when someone is more functional, then they're healthier and able to do the things that they need to do otherwise to get healthy and to stay healthy.
And the reason you're talking about function is that you do see so many people who are really limited in life.
Oh, yes. Well, as an internist, I noticed for a long time that a lot of patients who weren't doing things they needed to really had some musculoskeletal problem that was preventing them from getting to what they did. We know that a lot of people have low back pain, which is the single most common cause of visits to a primary care physician for an adult. Most internists, family practitioners, really don't have a very good idea about what causes that and then how to fix it.
It's amazing how many people are debilitated and practically hopeless in living their lives with joint pain, including the backs, but shoulders, knees, hips. And how about all of those hip replacements and knee replacements that people are getting? Is there a way out of that?
There is, especially for knees. A lot of people go to the orthopedic surgeon and their knees don't move well, and they tell them that it's bone on bone, which is a subject that I've been trying to figure out what exactly that means.
The doctors tell their patients that it's bone on bone, and I see a lot of people hobbling around, and they tell me that, oh, their problem is bone on bone, and the doctor says they can't really help them.
Yeah, well, it's difficult definition. There isn't any precise way that doctors decide that a patient has bone on bone. Typically, I see patients who've seen the orthopedist, have had their x-rays, have had their MRIs often, and they're told that they are ripe for surgery. And if you look at the big ads in the papers, like the New York Times, you can see these hospitals just boasting how they do lots and lots of these operations for people to make them better.
But a lot of people are happy with their new knees.
Yes, a lot of people are happy with their new knees. A lot of people are not so happy with their new knees, that's for sure. In general, if someone gets a reconstructive operation, hip replacement, that has worked really well.
Except for the hips that were defective.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the problem of not having, I think, the right research and follow-up on patients. The first hip replacement operation in the United States was when I was a medical student in my summer working at a rehabilitation hospital. It was the Charnley Hip. And the Charnley Hip was developed by a Dr. Charnley in England, and they had a whole hospital devoted to that to make sure that they got rid of all the problems before it was a generally approved procedure. The ones that are done now, there's less of that activity and more marketing. But that's not really why I'm here. Okay. I wanted to talk about a subject that's very dear to me, called prolotherapy.
Right. Not only very dear to you, it's how you earn your living.
Well, I do earn some of my money on that. I spend my time now as a full-time sports medicine physician, and I'm board certified in that. I deal with patients' musculoskeletal problems at practically all the joints in the body and the ligaments and tendons surrounding the joint to figure out where the exact problem is and how to fix it. And prolotherapy is one of those tools.
I also want to mention, since we talked about that this is the way you earn a living, is doing this kind of work, is that it's unusual. You're not running a practice that milks people for a fortune. You actually are a very honorable doctor who's very fair in your pricing, and I think people really need to understand that they can trust you and work with you in a way that helps everybody, including you.
Well, that's very kind of you. That's what I try and do. Not out to make a fortune, but what I like to do, see the patient, get a good history of what's going on, do a thorough examination, and then we come up with a discussion of what I think is going on and a plan of what to do. Sometimes that involves the prolotherapy, which is an injection treatment. Often that includes some physical therapy, because if you've had a chronic problem, then you are debilitated, some of the muscles aren't working as well and need to be redeveloped and strengthened. Often, especially if we're talking about hips, knees, feet, people need work on their balance. All these things are very important besides the techniques that I use, the prolotherapy.
And also, now you're working in an office with a group of physical therapists, so you can all combine forces and minds and do great work together.
Oh, yes. This has been a really exciting change in my practice. I'm at the Aspire Center for Wellness and Health, and we all joined together this August in this new lovely space. And the physical therapists are very innovative and bright. I met them a few years ago at the time when they came to me to teach them a workshop on low back pain that I teach the physical therapist. I know a lot of physical therapists very well. And any patient that is going to go to physical therapist, the physical therapist needs to have taken this workshop with me, so I have an idea of what's going on when they have low back or hip pain. And so this summer, when they were going to open their new space, which is very large, 7,000 square feet, I was invited personally to join them. And so I'm the MD. I'm the doctor doing the musculoskeletal evaluations. But actually, my patients don't come to me for an evaluation. They come because they have pain and they want to get rid of it, and they're tired of it. In general, I don't see people who just had a problem that started the week before, but most often people have had months and years of discomfort. And a lot of them have seen a host of other practitioners, physicians, primary care doctors, orthopedists, rehab doctors, acupuncturists, and sometimes they've seen a number of these. And then they come to me, and most often a lot of these people are just filled with dread and unhappiness because they're pretty sure that they're not going to get better with me and that I need to work with them to convince them. And then if it's appropriate, then we'll move on to prolotherapy. Let me just explain briefly what prolotherapy is.
And there are two kinds of prolotherapy.
Yes, there's now two kinds.
And what I want everybody to understand is that we're going to talk about the initial kind of prolotherapy that some people might have heard about before. And then you're also working with a neural prolotherapy that is even quicker to get rid of pain. And the regular prolotherapy changes the body in ways that pain is reduced or removed.
Well, in some ways, both of them work in the same way, but they have a different time frame.
Exactly.
And a different approach in the body. Let me explain first about regular prolotherapy, which we're now beginning to call deep prolotherapy. We're injecting a solution that's going to jumpstart healing down to where tendons and ligaments that are injured attach to the bone. And we're doing this around the joints and in the joints to repair these tissues.
Now, I don't want people to get frightened by the idea of injecting that deep into the body, because I've had you do that for me, and it's not so painful. It's somewhat, there's discomfort, but it's not something to be frightened about.
Well, what we're doing is first putting a local anesthetic at the skin, and I usually use a little handheld injector without a needle to very quickly anesthetize the spots that I'm going to inject at. And then we're injecting a very simple solution of sugar water and a little local anesthetic.
Sugar water? What good is that?
Well, we're using glucose, dextrose, the same sugar that we're all aware of that causes diabetes in the body when there's too much of it. And so it's a natural substance. And it's just a little stronger than the amount that's in the body. But it's enough so that it signals to the body that it should start repairing itself.
How does it do that?
Well, it does it through a number of ways. So the first is that when the sugar water goes to a spot at the tendon, right where it attaches to the bone, there's just destruction of a few little cells that release chemicals that attract the cells that produce new good fibers. Those are called fibroblasts. So they produce new fibers. Tendons and ligaments are both made up of fibers. Cartilage is made of fibers. But it's tougher than tendons and ligaments. And the second way is that it's been shown in a study some years ago that the concentration of the dextrose is going to attract these fibroblasts from further away in the circulation. And so they come to this area. And the third is that the prolotherapy has a direct effect on the nerve endings that are at the place where tendons and ligaments meet the bone. There's a lot of them, and they have an intimate connection with the process of healing. So there's three different mechanisms.
So this is, to me, what you're talking about is the magic of why this idea of a bone against bone doesn't really need to happen, because you're actually regenerating the tissue that protects bone from itself.
Well, most of the time, what's going on is that the bone really isn't touching bone. If you look at the knee has a layer of cartilage, known as the menisci, two semicircular pads that are in between the thigh bone and the leg bone.
But a lot of doctors tell people that's all gone.
Well, it degenerates in a lot of people, and for a lot of people, that's a lifetime process. It was shown in a study this year that in a large group of 20-year-olds, a quarter of them had some damage to these menisci. And so if you have an MRI when you're in your 50s or 60s, the chance if you're having a meniscus which looks damaged on the MRI is pretty high then.
All right, so then there is some argument about bone against bone.
Well, a lot of the patients I see, when I examine them, their range of motion is much better than I would expect for someone who would have bone on bone. Bone on bone means that when you bend the leg, when you unbend it so that it's straight, that there should be a certain feeling of bone literally hitting against other bone. Very often, I don't find that. And then on the other hand, when you bend the knee, then there should be this hard feeling of bone on bone, and most often I don't feel it on my exam. What I find is a softer feeling, which is that the tendons and the ligaments are irritated, and that causes spasm in the muscles, and it just kind of is tight, very tight, and that's not really bone on bone. And I see that in a fair amount of people who say, oh, I was told I have bone on bone, and I need surgery, when can I sign you up? And I hear that literally that happens with the surgeons talking to their patients. So the first important thing before we ever get to prolotherapy is, of course, to get a history of how the problem is, when it happens to the person, how bad it affects them, and for how long. Then a very good exam, and then we talk about the prolotherapy. A lot of people, even if they have arthritis, say in the knee, the problem in what causes the pain is really the set of tendons and ligaments that are on the outside of the joint. And the problem is much more that than inside the joint.
And you've had enough results with people that you know that if you do prolotherapy and you build up the strength of the tissues, that their bone on bone doesn't exist anymore.
Well, that's right. It's very hard with prolotherapy to actually do a complete repair of the cartilage inside the joint or these menisci. We know that we can fix a tear in the meniscus with a series of prolotherapy injections, just sugar water every 6 weeks for several times, depending on the patient, how long it takes. And the tendons and ligaments that are causing pain because they've been stretched and irritated and there's little tears in them occurring over many years, those get fixed. And then the movement is much better. The pain is gone. The patient may still have a bit of a bend in the knee because things aren't perfect, but they're without most or all of their pain. And then they can go about their life. Like I had a patient some years ago, a woman in her late 60s, and she could hardly walk from her building down to the end of the block. Her knees did have a lot of arthritis, and she had this appearance of and feeling of bone on bone when I examined her, and her knees did not bend all the way. But over a long period of time, it took up to a year actually, because she had a very severe problem. She reported that her pain was not all gone, but now she could easily walk 10 blocks, and her life was recovered.
That's great. Now, we're also talking about repairing tears. And when I saw you with my terrible shoulder that had been MRI'd and diagnosed with 5 tears and some bone damage, and you looked at that and said, well, let's do some injections, it was amazing. It took time because these soft tissues had to rebuild, regenerate, and the tears had to heal, and all of a sudden my arm was very usable again. I had a practically useless arm for almost a year, and then I saw you, and now my arm feels like I had the results of what you might call excellent surgery without the surgery. It's amazing how you restored that.
The audience has to understand that on one hand, Peter is quite an athlete and a real dogged one at that, and so he would tell me that he would be still swimming and dragging his arm behind himself.
I couldn't even do a stroke with that arm.
Then with the prolotherapy, then he did complain a bit because there is some discomfort afterwards when you're doing the regular prolotherapy. It can last for a day or two. Some people have very little discomfort, some have more. And then when he stopped complaining, when I saw him again, he said, oh, you know, it's getting a little better. Now it takes a long time for regular prolotherapy to grow new tissue.
Right.
The process is very slow and careful. These fibroblasts start clearing out the area, getting rid of dead debris, much like if you have an old carpet and you need to repair the tears. So you clean up the tears and then you're sewing in new tissue. And that's what the fibroblasts do. And it takes about 4 weeks for that to really start. And it takes 6 weeks usually for the person to really feel that they're getting some improvement. And then after that 6 weeks, the process of repair continues.
But let's talk about the alternative if people have surgery. It's no quick overnight success.
I've met a number of people who've had shoulder surgery, and when they have that, they can have a long period of rehabilitation.
Right. So this is even quicker, but you do have to be patient.
Well, one has to be patient after any kind of procedure.
Right.
A lot of us think that we should be better tomorrow. When I see patients, I usually joke that, well, you know, we all want to be better when we see the doctor. We all want to be better yesterday. And if not yesterday, how about tomorrow? Everybody practically agrees with me that that's what they really want. But that isn't reality.
Right.
And so one does have to have a little bit of patience, a little confidence and trust, and that's what we do.
Now, let's talk about backs also. And what I've noticed that you're really excellent at is evaluating biomechanics, the movement of the body, to find where the weak tissues are and to know how to strengthen them. And so often with back problems, there are weaknesses that can be rebalanced and people can be restored.
Well, there's a real problem in the medical community and what people hear about low back pain. The official consensus about low back pain is that if you have a disc problem, you know, those discs that look like hockey pucks between the bones of the spine. If that's a problem and it herniates, meaning some tissue goes out from the disc and pinches a nerve root that's right nearby, and that causes pain, that is the major thing to worry about. And that if you find that that's not the problem and the pain continues, you call that chronic low back pain. You don't really worry about it. And you don't consider there's other problem. And that's really strange because there's lots of physicians and chiropractors and physical therapists who know that there are specific problems and that's what they work on. So there's this conflict in the medical literature. And the people who write the literature that seem to be in charge are the ones who say there's really no thing you can do when it isn't a disc problem. Now, you have to understand that if you wake up one morning or you fall over or something and you have the sudden onset of back pain, your chance of having a disc herniation is somewhere between 5 and 11%. So already you're in the minority of people. It's been shown in a very good study done years ago by two brothers, actually, the Saul brothers in California, that 85% of people who have a disc herniation will heal without any surgery in a little over a year. Even those who have a nerve root problem that causes some damage, that will repair. And so surgery isn't always the best thing, but a disc herniation is the minority of low back pain problem.
All right. And then using prolotherapy, what do you address?
Well, first we do an evaluation to see what's going on. The most common cause is a slight rotation of the hip bone forward just a few degrees at what's called the sacroiliac joint, which is the inside joint of your hip bones to the bottom of the spine, known as the sacrum. And this used to be the most common diagnosis for low back pain until 1934, when the first article was published about surgery for disc herniations. And I leave it to your imagination why that became very popular. But it's still a small percentage. And so what we do is evaluate patients, see if the sacroiliac joints are the problem. When these hip bones rotate just a little, put an enormous stress on the rest of the hip area and the pelvis and the low back above, so one can get a variety of other tissues that get damaged. Certainly that's one of the problems that a majority of physicians around the world have trouble with because they haven't been trained to sort this out.
Right, and what I like about the work you do is that you really evaluate these movements of the body to see where the weaknesses are so that you can then address that. And you also use ultrasound to look in and see the quality of the different
tissues. Well, the most important thing is really the physical exam after the history. The history tells me 90% of the time where the problems are, the major problems, and then the exam tells me the details, and also to make sure that I don't have the wrong idea.
We only have a few minutes left,
yes,
and we want to talk about neuroprolotherapy.
Okay.
So let's do a quick rendition of it.
Okay. Neuroprolotherapy has been around the last, 5 to 10 years in its current form. Remember that, and I didn't really mention that regular prolotherapy, we now call deprolotherapy, started in 1927, a long time ago.
You call it deep?
I've been calling it deep for my patients. We call it deep, and we call the neuroprolotherapy light prolotherapy because the nerves are being injected just under the skin, and it's much gentler treatment. So that regular prolotherapy has been around a long time, and I learned about it in a musculoskeletal course I took in 1978. I've been using it over 30 years, so that's been around a long time. And I'm very familiar with it. Now, neuroprolotherapy, what happens is that, remember we talked, you may remember about those little nerve endings that join tendons and ligaments and send the messages about pain and also regulate healing, causing it or preventing it. So they're connected through the spinal cord to nerves that are under the skin that are actually right over these joints or near them. These nerves, once there's months and months of message of damage from the tendons and ligaments and the joints, some of those fibers that deal with pain get turned on like a switch, and they don't get turned off. There's nothing in the body that will really turn them off, and they just stay on and on and on.
And you know how to turn them off.
Well, I must say that I had a lot of patients in the last several years who tell me that they had nerve pain. And I said, well, you know, the nerves carry pain, blah, blah, blah. That's not how we look at it. And my patient, I must say, were right. And I have to confess how badly I feel about that. What we do now, we can just touch very gently over the skin to feel these nerves, a little practice that can feel them, and see if they're tender. Then if they're tender, and you just find them in a line for the appropriate nerve, because it's not just in one spot, then we inject with a little needle, very tiny needle, with a little of that dextrose, glucose. We're using a smaller concentration of 5% as opposed to 12.5%. So it's a little less irritating when we do it and later. And it has an amazing property that in a few minutes, it will turn off the pain. So patients will have a number of these injections. We wait a few minutes. They stand up from the table and they say, oh, I feel much better. And as I'm taught, I say, let's wait another minute. Let's see if there's another spot that we missed. And often there is one or two more. And we get that and say, oh my God, now it's all gone. I feel sort of numb, but I feel better.
How long does it last?
Well, it depends on the person. So it lasts usually from at least a day to several days. In some people, it lasts weeks. In some people, it's already permanent. So then I have one person, he's actually one of the occupational therapists at our new multi-purpose center, at Aspire Center. And he was complaining of headaches that he had frequently and upper back pain. And I used to be injecting those areas with prolotherapy down to the bone of the neck and the upper back. And it took several injections, and you had to wait 6 weeks to see an improvement. And now I injected him. He had a fair number of injections, little ones under the skin. And then he got up and he felt great. And it's now been over 2 months. And he's really fine.
Oh, good. So we love this.
And oh, I love this too. And patients like to be better right away. So when possible, this is what I usually start with patients. So they can feel better. It's not the day before they saw me or the day after they see me that they can expect to be wonderful. Because when I see them, they usually have to come back another day for the prolotherapy because I always want people to be comfortable and make sure they have all their questions answered. And then they come in, and then we do the injections. And then that day, they will feel much better. And then we wait a week or a month or 2 months, whatever they are good for, to do it again. And we do it as many times as need. So it's anywhere from 1 to 5 or 6 times.
It's amazing that people can get help like this, and I'm so glad we could talk. We're running out of time now, and I want to tell people how they can find you. And you are at Aspire
Center. I'm at Aspire Health and Wellness Center. You can find me on their website. You can also find me on my own website, erwinabraham.com. You can also find me if you look up prolotherapy, and you can call the office.
You know the number.
I know the number. It's 212-726-9066.
Great. Dr. Erwin Abraham, I'm so glad you could do the show today. This is so wonderful for our audience to know where they can find relief.
Well, as you know and can tell from this, from me talking, I'm very excited about this treatment.
And I am too.
Which adds to the ones that I've used before.
That's great. Thank you so much for being on Energy Stew.
Well, thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. That's heartriver.org. Or you can call me at 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.